You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today, we are speaking with Dr. Xuan He, founder of Conduct Science, a network of companies that provides different tools for scientists and researchers. Dr. He, a pleasure to have you with us today on the program.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it to talk about it.
And you're more than welcome and looking forward to hearing the details. So, Dr. He, can you tell us about what Conduct Science is about and how you got it started?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, I spend a lot of time as a scientist, and I'm a doctor as well. And the thing that we always need in science and medicine is better tools, because you can do, if you have good tools, you can bring better science to the bedside. You can have discovered better things. And one of the things that I started noticing in science was that there's a lot of tools for the preclinical sciences. So what I mean is anything before patients, right? So we can, you know, manipulate stem cells. We can do amazing things with any kind of cell. And you can manipulate the DNA with CRISPR. But there's a lot of things you can't do after that. A lot of the tools that I think should be there for science is not there. So I call this the set of tools that the Conduct Science brings to the table. You know, we have our standard set of tools. We can do microscopes. We can do, centrifuges. But we also have the off-the-shelf stuff that isn't as typical. So digital health tools. So, for example, if you wanted to take a bunch of patient clinical data and translate it to something that is easy for people to understand, that is a tool, just like a microscope. Or if you needed a maze that is much more sensitive for mice and rats, that is also a tool, just like a microscope. You need a virtual reality to put people into science experiments where you tested their cognition, learning. Those are also tools. And so our whole job is to make sure that tools can be easily accessible for scientists and for the people making them. So we make our own standard set of tools. We also allow other scientists to make tools as well, and then provide them on science platforms so that they can easily sell and make their tools to other people. So almost like an Etsy for science. Does that make sense?
It certainly does, and a great explanation. Tell us what makes your company different, and how does it help scientists as well?
Yeah, so, you know, we don't do when you come in the science world, one of the things you start to realize that it's all protected by patents and all these crazy things that basically make it so it's really hard to get any sort of invention out in the world. We make it so that everything that is not patentable, right? So you can't patent a maze. You can't patent, a digital health tool. We can still make sure that your lab that created it gets a benefit from it, and your career gets benefit. Because one of the things that helps scientists is that when you make a tool and a lot of people use it, that means your career as a scientist gets really helped, right? So our company is different because we really merge the world of biotech and consumer goods, right? Consumer goods, if you wanted to get on Etsy and make that unique thing that you wanted to make, you can, right? And same thing for scientists. A lot of scientists develop these homegrown tools in their lab. They have no idea how valuable they are because other labs could use that for whole new applications, discover whole new things. And we make that really easy to make sure you benefit from it as a scientist. And we don't do any sort of, protections. And we don't patent your device and then sell it for you. We don't do any of that stuff that other companies will do. We really want to make sure that it's an open market and that scientific tools are really open for everyone. I think that's where science and medicine are going, right? A lot of this is public. A lot of this is, funded by public dollars, and it really should be that it's available to everybody if it's funded by public dollars. That's what we want to see on the scientific methodology and tools front.
Now, we'd be curious, Dr. He, why did you choose the digital route instead of setting up a physical store?
Yeah, I think this helps all the scientists, all the grants, all the grant funding, right? So grant funding is really hard to come by now. Public dollars fund these really important discoveries, and we want to make sure that if someone is getting a tool, they're getting it for the lowest price possible, because that means those grant dollars goes further for publication so that we can help people. And going to the digital route really helps that. That means that a couple things. One, we don't have any physical sales stores, so you don't need to come to a store. We don't have to pay for rent. Two, we don't have any salespeople. We don't come bug you all the time about why you should buy all of our tools and not this other company's tools. We think that scientists are smart enough to come to us when they need it, right? So if they're trying to do an experiment with virtual reality, we trust that they can come to us because we deliver the best tools. And so that also means that we don't have to pay the salaries of salespeople, which means that the stuff that we can provide is a lot cheaper, which also means that the grant dollars that they get, funded by the government or funded by the military or private pharmaceutical companies, goes a lot farther, so we can get the discoveries for cheaper. That's good for society, that's good for scientists, that's good for a publication, and it's good for everybody.
Today we're speaking with Dr. Shuhan He, the founder of Conduct Science, a network of companies that provides different tools for scientists and researchers here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, would you recommend bootstrapping to newer entrepreneurs? What's your thought in these regards?
Yeah, I absolutely would. You know, there's a really big schism in the startup community between people like 37 Signals, which is the Basecamp group, that are really advocating for homegrown, revenue-based digital models, and then more the Y Combinator San Francisco model that is trying to do venture capital. I think one thing that happens in bootstrapping is that you're really aligned with the customer, right? As in, you're here to serve the customer, and you're here to make sure that you're there for them and the tools they need. One of the things that would happen if we took on a bunch of capital is that we would start making decisions that really, with every incentive to try and make as much money as possible in the short term. And I don't think that works well with science, because science needs to happen over years, right? An IRB or something that requires ethics review committees. It would take a year or two sometimes just to clear, and we wouldn't be able to do those kinds of things if we took on a bunch of venture capital. So I think it's really important that we are able to align with scientists and to be there for their long-term goals. We don't want to be acquired in 2 years so that our tools are no longer relevant to scientists, right? They have to be supported for the long term. And so we want to make sure that all the tools are there, and that really means that we're able to bootstrap. It also means that my lifestyle and my, you know, the personal life that I get to live is just a lot better, right? I get to still practice clinically. I get to still practice bench science. I get to still live my life like a normal human being. And I think that's a really good thing for new entrepreneurs, right, is that entrepreneurship should be for you and your life and the goals that you have in mind. My goal is to take care of patients and to bring new therapies to the bedside. And I don't think I could do that if I were taking on a lot of venture capital. And I think that would be tough to do. So I certainly recommend being able to bootstrap. I think it lets me run the goals of my life. It lets me run the company in a way that I wanted to run. It lets me take care of my employees the way I want to take care of them. And it lets me take care of my customers like the way I want to take care of them. And I think that aligns with my interests and everyone else's. And I certainly would recommend it to new entrepreneurs.
And certainly appreciate your point of view. And that is certainly most helpful, no doubt about that. Tell us, what are some key areas of the company that you focus on reinvesting or growing?
Yeah. So if I think about it as an entirely big network of tools across the scientific spectrum, anything from cells to mice to humans. One thing that I really want to focus on is both mice and humans, because there is not that many tools for it. So for humans, for example, scientific tools, things like virtual reality, I want to be able to bring virtual reality experience, make it easy for anyone to do an experiment in virtual reality on humans very easily. I want to be able to allow others, as a second point of growth, to easily sell and create their own tools from science. So if you're a lab that wants to have made a tool for stem cells to make it more efficient, right? But you're not going to patent it, and you're not going to go through this huge tech transfer process that we certainly are also very familiar with, we can be an alternative model for you to monetize, an alternative model for you to sell to other scientists to science grow. And that's kind of our main focus is to kind of, again, be that Etsy of science, that homegrown science solution, so that people can get tools for cheaper and for a better price.
Dr. He, as far as your vision is concerned, what is your vision about the future of the industry, and how is your company adapting to the future here?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, it's really funny. If you look at the history of biotech, a lot of it came from the Bayh-Dole Act in 1981, where they basically allowed for tech transfer. And what a lot of the universities did was they tech transferred very, very large, very lucrative patents, things like vitamin K and warfarin. The focus was entirely on patents and protectionism. And what I think we're on the precipice is the removal of patents from this industry, so that people can sell things without the need for protectionism. There's a term called the tragedy of the anti-commons, where everyone is trying to patent everything that even doesn't have any monetization potential if you've been patented, because that means you have to make about $100 million off the device or off the invention for it to even matter. But there's a lot of incredibly useful inventions out there that are worth less but are incredibly still profitable, lucrative for scientists and their labs and universities that I think could be sold on our platform. And I think that means that that a lot of science can be unlocked from the shelves that are sitting there locked away in universities if they remove those patents and they allow revenue-based tech transfer sharing model. So basically the way I call it is it's like Spotify. You can be an artist, and you get paid when people listen to your music. It's the same for scientists. Rather than the old licenses where you sign a big deal and then they get your CD out. Anyone can be a scientist in this day and age. And I think that's the future of the industry. People will be able to sell their tools, the revenue model. It de-risks it for everybody involved. And that means that all science gets cheaper and better and more efficient.
Well, Dr. He, again, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today. A wealth of information shared, and we can't thank you enough for sharing your expertise with us. Where can listeners get further details on Conduct Science and be in touch accordingly?
Yeah, they can just go to conductscience.com. All of our information is there. We have a way for people to sign up and get their lab onto the network. They can also contact me directly if they have anything else that they want to get in touch with me with. It's all on conductscience.com. They put in that contact form. We're right there for that.
And we'll certainly drop a link within the show notes of this broadcast. Again, Dr. He, all the best, and thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And it certainly was our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Shuhan He, the founder of Conduct Science, a network of companies that provides different tools for scientists and researchers. And for further details, simply visit conductscience.com. This is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.